From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. We're going to be talking primarily about Occupy for Palestine. And also later in the program, we're going to be talking to a trade unionist from Unifor who is going to be talking about union involvement and support for Occupy for Palestine. But I believe we're very fortunate. Erin Mackay of Occupy for Palestine is here with us. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
How are things going with you?
Yeah, things are going great. So quite literally right behind us outside this building.
You're getting enough sunshine, I think.
yeah. Definitely, it's quite sunny out there. Right now there's about 200, 250 people who are holding down our encampment at King's College Circle here at the University of Toronto. We've been there since Thursday. We got in at about 4 a.m. And we set up, and the number of tents has just continued to grow. We have students, we have faculty, we have staff. We have the student union at the University of Toronto just put out a statement in solidarity and support. And things are going really well, and we are demanding that the University of Toronto divest from Israeli apartheid and end its complicity in this ongoing genocide. And we are joined by thousands of students across so-called Canada and the United States and around the world in making these demands. And ultimately, you know, I think I would like to start off by acknowledging that right now Rafah is actually actively being bombed. Al Jazeera was kicked out of Rafah, out of the region. And it's really quite horrific what's happening right now. That was supposed to be the only safe zone where folks could go. And now it's being bombed. And so that's the genocide that the University of Toronto is complicit in. That's what we're fighting against. And I want to make sure that we're centering that in the conversation. And so I'm sure we can chat at length about what the admin's doing, you know, what's happening at some of the other encampments in the U.S. But really, it's all eyes on Rafah. It's all eyes on Palestine. And we are here in solidarity and support. And we need to make sure that we center that and demand that the institution that I attend, that I've gone to and pay my money to, ends its complicity in this genocide.
In the process, you become very good at putting the case for the for the students. There are basically three demands that you're working.
Yeah.
Could you list them again? What's the first?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one is to disclose. So the University of Toronto has an almost $4 billion endowment. It's one of the largest endowments of any university in Canada. And currently, there is basically no information on where those investments go. And we are demanding that the University of Toronto disclose that so we can just have a frank conversation about, you know, the types of companies that students' tuition dollars are being invested in.
And you've raised this for years, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is not a new subject.
No, definitely not. Our second demand is focused on divestment. So we're demanding that the University of Toronto divest from Israeli apartheid. And that includes weapons manufacturing and companies complicit in the ongoing genocide. And then our third demand is focusing on Israeli academic institutions that are complicit in this genocide. And we're demanding the university end their academic partnerships with those universities. There's currently an active partnership with Hebrew University with regards to developing AI technology, which we find particularly concerning given the use of AI technology to target Palestinians. And that's an active research partnership between U of T and Hebrew University. And so we're asking them to end that partnership, but as well as other partnerships with those universities. And so those are three demands. Those are demands that are being made by students across Canada and the U.S.
I notice our media mainstream, is so complacent and lazy at the way they look at this. Some of the commentary says, well, I mean, it's not a lot of money. And why isn't the answer then, why don't you get rid of it?
Right. Well, the other thing, 100%. The other thing is we just quite literally don't know. So we have confirmation that the University of Toronto does, in fact, have investments.
Yes, you're asking for disclosure.
Yeah. So they do have investments in weapons manufacturing. We know that for a fact. We previously, our group, held a occupation of U of T President Merrick Gertler's office. And as a result of that occupation, we obtained a meeting with him, which was quite disappointing, to be completely honest. It was, you know, there was no sort of actual conversation that was had or discussion of the commitments or, you know, really anything at all other than they confirm that they do in fact have investments in weapons manufacturing. But when pressured, they did not, you know, give us any additional information about, you know, the specific companies or how much. So at a bare minimum, they need to give us that. At, you know, what they really should do is divest entirely and stop investing in companies that are complicit in this genocide.
I was struck, I was reading some in a commentary, and by the way, you are getting a lot of impressive
support. Yeah, we are.
There's a Jewish, a network of Jewish mm-hmm. professors, mm-hmm. and in one of the comments I noticed, they pointed out that the University of Toronto was the last mm-hmm. Canadian university to divest from South Africa.
Yeah.
So we have kind of an ugly, what
we
kind
do,
of tradition
we do.
Is that?
Yeah, so yeah, definitely. So the University of Toronto divested from South African apartheid in 1988. They, yeah, as you mentioned, they were one of the last universities to do so. They also divested from fossil fuels in 2021, which, again, if we're going to get technical here, there was a ad hoc committee that was created to look into divestment in 2016. They recommended divestment to President U of T President Mayor Gurlow, the same president who's still there right now. And at the time in 2016, he rejected it. And then in 2021, he came around and did, in fact, commit to divesting from fossil fuels. And so divestment is something the University of Toronto has done before. They have an ethical investments policy. And really all we're asking is for them to adhere to it. But unfortunately, they'd rather continue to invest in weapons and turn a profit and be complicit in the death of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, including there are many students who are here at this university who are Palestinian. There's many students at that encampment at King's College Circle who have family who have been killed and murdered as a result of this ongoing genocide. And they attend this institution and they pay tuition. And that means that their tuition dollars are going to fund the death and destruction of their families. And that's, to be completely frank, that is absolutely appalling. And the fact the university just simply doesn't care is really quite absurd.
They're basically trying to wait you out.
Yeah, that's their current plan, but doesn't really seem to be working because we're growing day by day. So,
but you know, you've raised issues which it seems to me politicians mm-hmm. ought to be looking into, like this disclosure, mm-hmm. because we now have this judgment, the International Court of Justice. Mm-hmm. Everybody's supposed to be on their toes not to be contributing to what might be a genocide,
right.
Says that court.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But they, it's like they didn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be listening to somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
You must be very encouraged. I'm hearing that McMaster might mm-hmm.
McMaster
initiating an encampment.
Yeah, McMaster launched an encampment a few days. Or I
By
can't
the way,
keep track
are
of time.
You, are you all in sync? I mean, in other words, UBC, Western, what is it, Emily Carr?
Mm-hmm.
You communicate, and do they have roughly the same demands?
So there's generally the same demands. I think across the board, divestment is, you know, and disclosure are top priority. I think some universities or some students at other universities have maybe different third or fourth demands. But in terms of coordination, so ultimately, like, you know, the encampment that happened at Columbia didn't come out of nowhere. You know, students at Columbia, students at universities across Turtle Island have been demanding that their universities and their complicit in Israeli apartheid for decades. At the University of Toronto, there's been campaigns to get U of T to divest from Israel since 2006. And so these aren't new demands. It is a bit of a new tactic, which is getting a lot of energy and attention, which is really exciting. And so it's a newer moment, but it's not a newer movement. And we are in conversations with other students across, you know, Canada and in the U.S. But in terms of coordination, I think just seeing what's happening at Columbia and seeing the attention it got, that moment, I think people are you know, joining and they feel a sense of urgency. I think especially, again, with what's going on in Rafah right now, like there's a real genuine sense of urgency to ensure that the universities we attend are not complicit in this genocide.
Yeah. By the way, I have to really congratulate all of you. And it seems you have to show great patience mm-hmm. and to put up with a lot of bad mm-hmm. journalism. People patronizing you, I read people claiming they infiltrated you, et cetera. I mean,
yeah.
It's so petty.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the best organizations in support of you mm-hmm. are the, like, the Jewish professors mm-hmm. and many groups, but that isn't, there's no emphasis on that at all, because it would dismiss the allegations, mm-hmm. oh, there's something anti-Semitic about mm-hmm. it. How could it be? You're talking about an assault on Gaza, mm-hmm. destruction yeah. of mm-hmm. universities total.
Right, right, yeah.
All hospitals mm-hmm. total. Mm-hmm. That isn't that just has to do with a crime that yeah. has to be stopped.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think ultimately, you know, this focus on anti-Semitism is really kind of it's being weaponized. I think, you know, there's a real clear distinction between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism. And of course, we stand against anti-Semitism, but there's the Jewish Faculty Network are standing.
All yeah. these movements, I've been mm-hmm. reading about it. They all do a really great job of policing mm-hmm. to see to it that ugly elements don't try to take advantage and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. By the way, to me, the most impressive was Jill Stein's
yeah.
Going to St. Louis, Washington mm-hmm. University. Mm-hmm. Here's a very intelligent, well-spoken individual who she was charged with assault after mm-hmm. being hit by.
Yeah, I saw that. I
mean, that's a mm-hmm. North American political environment. So I congratulate mm-hmm. you folks that we haven't had that kind of stupidity.
I mean, I think ultimately it just comes down to the fact that, you know, it is in the administration's hand, right? So whether they don't want to escalate the situation is up to them, right? So they can continue to make vague threats. They can continue to, you know, claim that there might be the possibility of academic repercussions or, you know, threaten use of police force. But and if there is an escalation, it is coming from the top, it is coming from the administration, and it means that they would rather do that than divest. Mm-hmm. And if they, you know, they seem to really want this encampment cleared, they seem to want it gone. And if that's really the case, they could commit to divesting from Israeli apartheid. And right now, we've had meetings with the administration, and they haven't even discussed our demands, which is quite frankly, like, really quite appalling, given the amount of students, amount of faculty, amount of staff, the broader U of T community who are out there, who have been out there making these demands, and they're just simply not listening to us. And instead, they're listening to these corporations, which really calls into question, like, who is this university for, right? Isn't it supposed to be the students, right?
Some people compare you to the old days of the 60s, and, mm-hmm. and you know, they did raise a kind of an important issue which should still be on the agenda, which is student power. Mm-hmm. Doesn't anybody care what they think? Mm-hmm. We get articles in the Atlantic Monthly or whatever it is, magazine, that says the donors have to shut the students up.
Yeah.
They say it as coldly as that. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, the donors aren't the ones who are studying and doing advanced work mm-hmm. and contributing to civilization. They just are sitting on a lot of money.
Yeah.
Where is the student voice?
Right. I mean, I think that there's, you know, a much broader pattern of the corporatization of universities, you know, since, oh my God, the 70s maybe. And, you know, in a backlash actually to student power and, you know, student movements. And we've been seeing that, you know, donors have increasingly stronger and stronger influences over, you know, executive decisions, over, you know, the university and these institutions as a whole. And I can't confirm for a fact, but I'm quite sure that many donors have called up the president, and perhaps that's why they are, you know, being so slow moving and so unwilling to engage. I mean, really, that's the only explanation, because otherwise, you know, I don't think anyone who is a reasonable a person could sit there and think, yeah, like, it's okay to fund a genocide.
It should be. People tend to think of these universities as belonging to the people, mm-hmm. not to donors. When I hear donors, I figure, if they want to donate, that's fine. But it's the people's university. Mm-hmm. Anybody who has the credentials should mm-hmm. be permitted to go to the school mm-hmm. and contribute to society.
Yeah.
Not be vetted out by some donor who's anonymous or just a big shot.
So. Yeah, and I think this is actually a really good point, because, you know, we've been getting lots of claims about quote-unquote outside agitators being the ones leading this encampment. And there was an entire Twitter thread about a Rotman professor who came and he chatted with people, and that, you know, he made this whole thread, and it kind of took off about just people being in the encampment who are not students, and
outsider.
Yeah, exactly.
In New York, they found mm-hmm. one outsider,
right?
A 65-year-old mm-hmm. woman whose son was yeah. a university professor.
Right. And so I think ultimately what it really calls into question is here is, like, who are the outside agitators? Because to me, the outside agitators are the donors, are the corporations who are coming in, who are taking over these universities and taking over these spaces. And, you know, preventing students' voices from being heard, preventing faculty voices from being heard. Again, there are faculty members who are putting their jobs on the line to stand in solidarity with us, to stand in solidarity with Palestine, to demand that the institution that they are part of and is complicit in this genocide. And yet, despite that, the university simply doesn't seem to care. And I really, again, I cannot think of another logical reason other than they care more about lining their pockets than they do about the fact that they are quite literally funding a genocide that is murdering their students' families, right? Like, that isn't really important. There are Palestinian students at this institution whose families are being murdered, and their dollars that they pay for tuition are going to help fund the murder of their families. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the fact that I'm graduating this year. I'm hopefully moving on to other places. I've kind of had it with this institution, to be quite frank. Yeah. But, you know, I should be really excited to graduate and celebrate this moment. But unfortunately, all I'm thinking about is the fact that all 12 universities in Gaza have been completely destroyed. And so there are thousands and thousands of students and people just like me who
when
should
they,
be
when they blew up that university. Yeah. There was no one there. Mm-hmm. It was just a structure. Mm-hmm. And they blew it flat.
Yeah And I mean, I think, right, exactly, you know, there are students and people who are just like me who should be graduating and celebrating with their families, and they're unable to do so because their universities don't exist, because their families have been killed and murdered, and the institution that I attend plays a role in that.
I
just won't stand for it.
Aside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a
mm-hmm.
new word, a hideous word. Mm-hmm. But true.
Yeah.
By the way, people can follow. You're at, it's Occupy for Palestine.
Yeah.
They just go online, or
yeah.
it's O4P.
Yeah, it's Occupy, Occupy U of T on
Occupy
Instagram. And yeah, we've been getting a lot of requests for donations and how can people help out. You can help out by showing up, standing in solidarity with Palestine, joining in us in making this commitment.
And you've been getting union mm-hmm. support.
Yes, the student union came out.
Steel workers
mm-hmm,
have
mm-hmm, and steel workers
mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
And Unifor has mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. QP has outstanding leadership.
Yeah.
But in the United States, United Auto Workers, mm-hmm. they have thousands and thousands of United Auto Worker members, and they're talking about a strike at UCLA now in light of the treatment of the students.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's at UCLA, I know they canceled graduation, and because they didn't want someone who's quite literally their degree was in genocide studies to give a valedictorian speech. So I don't know. I think this moment simultaneously is so angering and so enraging and frustrating, but also at the same time really hopeful and optimistic, and, you know, just seeing so many people envision a different world, envision a world in which our institutions aren't complicit in this genocide, envision a world in which there isn't this genocide, in which there are not genocides in general, you know, that is itself powerful and important. And so we're holding lots of conflicting feelings in this moment, but we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, we're only on, I can't even keep track now. I think we're on day 5, something like that. I know that some of the campuses in the U.S., there was one at Vanderbilt University, I think, that almost passed. There was last I checked, it was like 37 days or something like that. So who knows? I mean, people keep asking how long we're going to be here. And ultimately, I think that's up to the administration, right? Like if we, you know, if they committed to divesting, we would pack up tomorrow. We'll just have to see.
I think Canadians are really inspired by your work and the conduct of the students. It's been, the polls show that they've been wanting somebody mm-hmm. and the politicians have failed them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Well, Aaron Mackey, it's been a pleasure talking
Thank
to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
And please, let's keep this going and win. And,
yes.
Keep up.
Absolutely. I mean, the studio in right now is quite literally across the street from my bedroom in this current moment. So whenever you guys would like me back on, I'll be here.
We're neighbors.
Amazing. Welcome. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. This is Taylor Report, CIUT. We have a little music, I believe, and we'll be back with Tony Lee of Unifor.